We welcome you tonight. We are continuing our series on how God can take the setbacks in our lives and turn them into comebacks. And in each one of these messages so far, we've been looking at a different kind of setback and how a person in the Bible handled it. We talked about Nehemiah. We talked about Job when the setback seems irreversible. We talked about when the setback is because of our dumb decisions. But tonight I want us to look at what to do when the setback is not your fault. What do you do when the setback is not your fault? You know, honestly, it's easier to deal with things when you know it's caused by your own mistakes. And you can say, look, this is it's me. I'm the reason. But it feels very unfair sometimes to have to go through things, through a storm or through a setback or through suffering that's caused by other people's mistakes or other people's dumb decisions or even by their sins. And you're the innocent party. And you get hurt or you feel burnt because of the consequences. And it affects you. Now, for those of you that have been deeply hurt by other people, you know exactly what I'm talking about tonight. And maybe right now you are dealing with a setback from a divorce that you did not want. Or maybe you're paying the price for a bankruptcy that you did not want. It wasn't your fault. Maybe you inherited some problems from your parents, or maybe you lost your job because the company was bought out. It's not your fault, but yet you're feeling the setback. And I know some of us have struggled with our identities and our emotions and even our physical health sometimes because evil people may have abused you, and I grieve with you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what someone has done to you. And these cause major storms in our lives. And it's not because of something you've done in this particular case, but somebody else has done it. And it's wreaking havoc in your life. How do you deal with that? How do you come back from a situation like that? Well, in Acts chapter 27... and I want to encourage you to read the whole chapter because we don't have time tonight. But read this whole chapter sometimes this week. Take out your notes if you've got them or open your Bible. And we're going to look at all these verses that are in chapter 27. This is a very dramatic example of how we often suffer setbacks and storms because of the foolish choices of other people. And it's a dramatic story about how if you'll trust God for a comeback from that setback, then God will move in a miraculous way in spite of other people's dumb decisions or bad choices. So this is the story of how Paul survived the storm and the shipwreck that was not his fault. Now, let me just give you a little bit background here. The Apostle Paul had always wanted to preach the gospel in Rome. It was his greatest desire. It was his greatest dream to go and preach in Rome at the Colosseum. Rome was the most powerful, most influential city in that time. And Paul wanted to plant the gospel there. And Paul thought that he would probably go there and preach a series like I'm doing, but instead of preaching a series, he ended up going as a prisoner. Paul had been put unfairly on trial for a crime that he didn't commit, but because he was a Roman citizen, he was able to appeal to Caesar in a capital offense case. So he did, and his appeal to Caesar actually got him a free ticket, a free ride to Rome. Now we're going to pick up this story where Paul is put on a prison ship and he's in Crete, which is an island in the Mediterranean, not far, right off of Italy there, and he's headed for Rome, and the ship is docked there on the island of Crete, but the crew had spent too much time there, and now autumn is turning into winter, and it would be unsafe for them to sail in the middle of the winter. And so God tells Paul to warn the captain of the prison ship that they should wait until winter's over and then they could sail smoothly. But the whole crew, the captain, the whole crew, they get impatient. They didn't want to wait, and they ended up sailing into a massive storm, and they were in a shipwreck where it looked like they all were likely going to die. Even though Paul passes on to them what God told him about this, they ignored him. And here's Paul now. By the way, you know, Paul was actually in three different shipwrecks in his lifetime, if you can imagine that. But what does this story have to do with us living in 2019? Well, it actually answers three very important questions. First of all, what causes people to make bad choices and causes setbacks and storms for other people? And that's what I want you to see tonight. Number one is this: when we listen to ungodly advice. Write that down. When we listen to ungodly advice. Let's pick up this story in Acts 27, verse 9 and 10. We'd lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Men, he said, I believe there's trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. Wow. And then verse 11. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than he did to Paul. Okay, let's look at this for just a minute here. Have you ever been given bad advice? Sure you have. Have you ever been overruled by an expert? Sure you have. Have the so-called experts in your life always been right? Absolutely not. And I've noticed as a pastor that a lot of people use experts to try to validate their biases. And they go around talking to all these experts. And when they find someone that looks at it and agrees with them, then they say, oh, then that must be right. And I don't want to belabor this, but I do want to make a simple point. When God tells you not to do something, ignore all the experts. And do what God is telling you to do, because they are going to be wrong. God is right. So always follow the voice of God and of the Holy Spirit. The captain of the ship, they were supposed to know what they were doing. They were experts. But God told Paul otherwise. Now there's a second reason that people sail into storms and make a shipwreck of their lives. Write this down. When we copy the crowd. In other words, when we do what's popular, when we just say, well, I'm going to go with the flow. This is what everybody else is doing. So we copy the crowd. And that's in verse 12. Look at it. Since the harbor was unsuitable for spending the winter, the majority supported a plan to put out to sea from there. Now circle that. The majority wanted to spend the winter. Isn't it interesting? History will tell you that the majority is often wrong. Often wrong. And here it says, the majority said, let's go ahead and do it. Let's sail out of here. The majority is often wrong. And I could give you story after story after story in the Bible. Just think of the 12 spies who went out to spy the land of Israel. 10 of them came back and they said, we can't do it. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, they came back and they said, we can do it. And those that followed the crowd ended up spending the rest of their life wandering around in the wilderness in circles until that generation died off. Why? Because the experts were wrong. The experts are often wrong. The majority is often wrong. There were 270, maybe 276 on this ship. And the Bible tells us that when they took a vote, the vote was 273-3. Paul and his two companions, one of them being Luke, who wrote this story. Now I imagine that when they took the vote and they said, oh well, the majority decided, let's go ahead, let's do it, even though Paul says don't do it, even though Paul is saying that God says we shouldn't do it. And I imagine that Paul just kind of shook his head and thought, you guys have no idea of the storm that you're about to sail into. Let me ask you, can you think of anybody who shipwrecked their life because they followed the crowd? They copied the crowd. They did what was popular. Don't just fall into doing what the crowd does. Dare to be different. Any old dead fish can float downstream. It takes a live fish to go against the current and go back upstream. Don't let the majority buffalo you. And then there's something else here that caused the storm. Write this down. When we count on circumstances instead of Christ. When we count on circumstances instead of Christ. We're going to get in trouble. And that's the next verse here. We're going to have setbacks. We're going to go into a storm when we count on our circumstances. And we listen to these circumstances more than we listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just because it looks good doesn't necessarily mean it is good. Look, if you would, in Acts 27, verse 13 with me. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor, and they sailed close to the shore of Crete. So when that gentle breeze, that light wind began to blow, they said, oh, this is great. The circumstances look good. Let's go. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever thought you were getting exactly what you wanted and later on you realized that you were headed straight into a storm? Well, that's what happened here. Is it possible that what you think about life may be just setting you up for a shipwreck? You see, when we pay attention to circumstances, when we don't listen to what God says, when we decide we're going to do what the crowd says do, or what the circumstance say good. And again, it doesn't matter how favorable something is. Look, it says here, they found a favorable, a gentle wind. If something looks favorable, but God has already said no, or not now, or not yet, and you push on, you're going to sail into a disaster. So when we pay attention to circumstances, we're not listening to what God says. We have to listen to what God says, not what the crowd says, not what the circumstance say. Have you ever heard, for instance, this justification? Well, it just feels right to me, so it must be right. Or, it feels good, so it must be good. Listen. That's bad logic. And I've noticed in life that a lot of people, when they get what they thought would they want it, when they find out and they finally get it, it's never as good as they thought that it was going to be. So never trust your circumstances. Because why? Circumstances change all the time. Every day they may change. And actually, they can change overnight. They can change immediately. Look at verse 14 here. It says in Acts 27, verse 14. Look at it. But the weather changed abruptly. And a wind of typhoon strength, like a hurricane, burst across the sea and blew us out to sea. Houston, we have a problem here. All of a sudden, there's a problem. We're trying to go up to the coast, up along the shoreline of Crete. And now they're blown out to sea. And they're at the mercy of this terrible storm. So what am I saying to you tonight? I'm saying listening to ungodly advice, copying the crowd, relying on circumstances, if it feels good, it looks good, will always get you into trouble. Listen for the voice of God. Listen to what God has to say about the situation. You know, storms come into all of our lives. Setbacks come into all of our lives. And when we get into a storm, you can read later on, they began to drift. They couldn't see where they were going. That happens to a lot of us. We get into a storm and we begin to drift away from God's purpose and plan. Storms can cause you to discard what you once thought was valuable. You'll read about that in here. How they began to throw things that they once thought were valuable. They threw them overboard. And they were just sailing there. And a storm, most of all, can cause me to despair. I've seen so many people go into a storm and they just lose hope. They get into despair. And they feel like there's no way out. There's nothing they can do. And so they're discouraged and they drift and they throw stuff away and they're in despair. Now I want you to realize tonight that these people were in total darkness. Matter of fact, the scripture says you can read this tonight or tomorrow about how they were 14 days where they couldn't see the sun. They couldn't see the stars, and they're out in the ocean. They have no compass. They have no idea where they're at. Now think about that. 14 days in total darkness. No stars, no sun, no compass. They have no idea where they are. And they're being tossed back and forth in this violent storm, back and forth by the waves. And they're going, we're doomed. We're going to die. This is the end. We're finished. It's over. Put a fork in it. We're done. And they finally, says in the scripture, they finally gave up hope. You know, that's the very last thing that they give up, hope. Hope is always the last thing to go. And my friend, that's why it's so important as believers and as churches, as Christians, Christ followers, that we give people hope. With this pandemic that we're seeing of suicide and hopelessness, and even the drug abuse that we're seeing, it's a result of many times of people who just feel hopeless. They'd rather take something that makes them feel good to take them away from the hopelessness that they feel. And listen, I know what it's like to get into a storm and begin to lose all hope and to think it's through, it's over. God can never use me again. God could never use me again. But I'm so glad that Paul stayed with hope. And you know, the thing that is so wonderful to me about this whole story is how Paul's reactions are so different than all the other people on the crew. I mean, listen, all the rest of the prisoners on the ship, everybody else is panicking. Everybody else is giving up. Everybody else is in despair. Everybody else is cowardly, shaking. But here's Paul. He's confident and he's calm. And I want to tell you, as a pastor now for many, many years, more years than I want to count, I have watched how people react to the crises, the storms, the setbacks of life. And listen to me, I'll tell you what I've discovered. The true test of your faith is not how high you jump when you're singing praises to God, but how straight you walk when you're going through a trial or a storm, or when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. How do you react to setbacks? How do you react to storms? I mean, anybody can be a fair weather follower of Jesus. How do you react to storms? Now, I want you to remember, this storm is not Paul's fault. He hasn't been disobedient. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's just kind of along for the ride. And God speaks to him. And God actually told him in advance. He said, you're going to take off now. And you're going to sail right into a storm. And then you're going to sail into a shipwreck. But this crew and this captain ignored what God told Paul and what he told them. But here's Paul. Even when they ignored him, he's still filled with hope. Even in those 14 days of total darkness, he's tossing back and forth in a violent sea, and yet he's still full of hope. What was this guy's secret? Well, it's this. When you face a setback, when you face a storm because of somebody else's poor decision, you need to remember the same three things that Paul remembered. And I'm going to give you three truths right now that are like anchors in a storm. Anchors when you've had a setback. Anchors that will give you stability in the most unstable environment and situation. And they're all right here in this passage when they're being tossed to and fro and you're tempted to drift. You're tempted to lose hope. You're tempted to throw valuable things away and to be in despair. But here are three anchors. Write them down. Number one, when I am feeling hopeless in any situation, number one, remember that God is with me. He hasn't left me. Write that down. Remember, God is with me. He has not left me. You are not alone. God has not abandoned you. God did not abandon Paul, and he has not abandoned you, no matter how dark it may seem. God is with you. He has not abandoned you. Acts 27, 21 through 23. Finally, Paul called them together. Now remember, they've been battling a lack of hope and depression and despair and throwing things overboard and drifting for days and days in the dark. And finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, if you'd listen to me. Okay, he had to put that in there. I told you so. You know, he's still enough of a human. I told you so. If you'd listen to me, you would have avoided all this injury and loss. But, Paul says, this is where his hope comes through. Take courage. Say that with me. Take courage. Say it again. Take courage. None of you will lose your lives even though the ship will go down. It's going to go down, Paul said. There's going to be a shipwreck. But last night, an angel of God, the God I serve and belong to, stood by me. Now circle that phrase. An angel of the God I serve and belong to stood by me. Now, you know, you can't see God. You can't see God physically with your eyes. But right now, I'm telling you, God is standing by you because God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. That means when we say God is omnipresent, that means God can be everywhere at the same time. And I don't know what you're going through right now. But I'll tell you this much. God is with you. God is with you. He has never not been with you. He's never going to be nearer to you than in that moment of trial and difficulty. He's never going to be further away from you than he is at that moment. You say, well, I don't feel him. Listen, it has nothing to do with your feelings. It has to do with reality. It has to do with the truth that God said, I will always be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you ever, ever, ever. And God does not break his promises. So the first anchor when you're going through a storm or a setback is to remember the presence of God. He's standing by me. He's right there with me. I mean, it's not like he's way up in heaven somewhere. He's right there with you. And Christ is in your heart. He's actually in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the first anchor, the presence of God. And that will bring stability to anybody who'll trust in him. But the second anchor is the purpose of God. Write this down. Remember that God's purpose is greater than any setback or storm. Write that down. God's purpose is for my life is greater than any storm I'll ever go through or any setback that you'll ever go through. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. Hope. Now look at this next verse. Acts 27:24. Paul says this. God's angel said to me, "Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will certainly stand before Caesar." You know, it probably didn't look that way when they were out there in the middle of that storm and the waves were tossing to and fro and they couldn't see the moon, they couldn't see the stars. But God says, "Don't be afraid, Paul. You will, not you might, you will, not I hope, you will certainly stand trial before Caesar." And so Paul knew in that moment that he was going to be able to share his testimony with the emperor of the Roman Empire. But then he goes on to say, what's more, God, look at this, God in his goodness has granted, this is the angel talking, has told Paul this, God in his goodness has granted safety to those who are sailing with you. Now, did you get that? Nobody's going to die, even though there's going to be a shipwreck. Because they're with Paul. On behalf of Paul's faith, he said, everybody else is going to make it with you. Now think about that for just a moment. If God's presence is always with me, it means that the storms and the setbacks of life cannot separate me from the love of God. And if God's purpose is to do his full work in me, then those storms, those setbacks cannot change God's purpose for your life. Do you get that? Do you understand that? I don't care what you're going through right now, or what you've already gone through, or what you may go through in the future, it's not going to change God's purpose for you. There is no plan B. God says, I'll fit that into your purpose too. Yeah, that too. Yeah, and that too. And that too. I'll fit that into the purpose of your life. So God's purpose will always be greater than any setback. The third anchor is the promise of God. This is the third thing you need to do when you're heading into a storm, when it looks like your ship is about to crack up. Number three, remember that God's promises can be trusted. They can be trusted. And then the Bible says in the next couple of verses, Acts 27, I remember that God's goodness can be trusted. Look at this, Paul says, and he's talking to the crew and all the sailors. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God, and it will all turn out just as God promised or God said. Where's his faith? Where's Paul's faith? It's not in the ship. It's not in the captain. It's not in the pilot. His faith is not even in the boat. Where's his faith? Look at it. I have faith in God that it will all turn out just as he promised. And then he adds parenthetically, nevertheless, we're all going to be first shipwrecked on an island. Think about this. I know God's going to take care of us. None of us are going to die because God promised it, but first we're going to be shipwrecked. And that's very important. I want you to remember that if you're in a storm right now, God has not promised to save your ship. God has not promised that. He has promised to save you. You may lose the ship. In fact, they did in this case. But listen to me. Saving the ship is not nearly as important. Saving your job is not nearly as important. Or whatever else you can think of tonight. But saving you is the most important. And I want you to look at this next verse, Acts 27:30-32. At one point, the sailors tried to abandon the ship, thinking their lifeboat would save them. Are you getting this here? Paul says, you'll all die unless you stay with the ship. So the soldiers cut the ropes, and what did they do? They let the lifeboats go. Oh, that's significant. That's significant there. The meaning of that in your life today is this. You're all going to die unless you stay with the ship. But if you go out there in those little lifeboats by yourself and you put your trust in those lifeboats to save you, that's not going to work. In other words, he's saying you've got to let go of your lifeboat. Now let me ask you a question tonight. What man-made, puny little lifeboat have you been holding on to for your security? Some of you have been holding on to the way you look. Your appearance is your lifeboat. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to have those looks forever. Age does a funny thing to all of us. Some of you are holding on to your wealth. That's your lifeboat, that money in the bank. That's not going to last forever. Some of you have been holding on to your education. That's not going to last forever. You're putting your faith, you're putting your trust in something that can be taken away from you. Put your faith in the man of Galilee, because nobody can take him away from you. And he is your Savior. He is your rescuer. And he will walk with you right through that storm. And so, if you want true security, you must put your faith in something that can never, ever, ever be taken away from you. What's your little lifeboat? What have you been holding on to for your security? I mean, here's these guys on the ship and they think, oh man, I've got to hold on to this little lifeboat. What is it that you think is going to save you? Good works? Your nice personality. Oh, I sure am a nice person. But only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can be your Savior. Only Jesus can get you into heaven. But first, you've got to let go of your man-made lifeboat. Just like these guys. Okay, who said we're going to put our total trust in God. We're not going to hold on to these lifeboats. Because these little boats are not going to save us. I mean, if the big ship couldn't save them in that storm, how are the little boats going to save them? That's not much use on a violent ocean. Listen, the safest place to be is always right in the center of God's will. And even if you're in the middle of a storm, if you're in the center of God's will, that's where you need to be. And it's safe there, even in the eye of the hurricane. We know what an eye of a hurricane is like. So today I want to urge you to let go of something or anything that you think might be saving you. And just turn to Christ, the only Savior. He's the only one. Now notice what happens next. I'm almost through here. Look at this. Then, after all that bad stuff had happened, Acts 27:34, Paul said, please eat something for your own good. Now remember, it tells us a few verses earlier that they hadn't had anything to eat for a while. Please, everybody eat something. You're going to need some strength. We're getting ready to go swimming here. And then it says he took some bread. He gave thanks to God before all of them. In other words, he publicly broke the bread. He expressed his gratitude to God. And then it says he ate it. And then what's the next thing? Then everyone was encouraged. Did you know that there is an incredibly great encouragement and power in encouragement when we live in a spirit of gratitude? Paul said, you guys, you need to eat something. And then he expresses gratitude. My, what a difference it would make if just the people who name the name of Christ would go through life not complaining, not whining, not talking about what they don't have, but being grateful for what God has done for them. In spite of being in a storm, they say, God is good. And then, of course, the last, it says, everyone made it safely to shore. Listen, God is reaching out to you, and he wants to save you tonight. Let's bow together for prayer. Bow your head. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you right now to just pray in your heart of hearts, if the Spirit's spoken to you, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my heart. Come into my life and save me. And if you're already a believer and you're in a storm, don't give up. Don't lose hope. Remember the presence and the power and the promises of God are with you. And you're going to sail right through this thing with the power of God. So whatever you're going through, your business is going through, your home life is going through, your finances are going through, let go of the lifeboat and trust the Savior. And you'll see God take a setback and turn it into a comeback. Father, I thank you that you can take the messes of our lives and by things we've done, and then sometimes things, Lord, as we've talked about tonight, that we didn't have a choice. Lord, you can take even that and use it for your glory and your honor. And through our suffering and pain, we can weave a marvelous garment that brings glory and praise to you, Lord. Father, thank you tonight that we are not alone. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you for the promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And that, Lord, you will see us through. No matter what it is, Lord, you'll walk with us. Lord, just encourage people tonight. May they just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Encouraging, building up their inner man, renewing them to know that they're going to walk through this. They're going to walk through the valley. They're not there to stay. They're walking through it. And fill them with hope tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.